Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for a very fun show. This one is one to take and talk with the family today or your significant other or just ponder here for a while because we're doing a show called What Percentage of Guests Do You Think? ... So for example, we're going to ask what percentage of guests down at Walt Disney World get a resort refillable mug? Or what percentage of guests do you think even know that you got to get a boarding group to ride Rise of the Resistance and many more other situations? Scott and I go back and forth on this one and we get the chat room involved. It's a very fun discussion because we have different thoughts on these numbers. And so we're crunching some numbers today. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. Check them out for all your Disney trip planning needs. You can find all the great free services they offer you over at themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. It really does help us out, and it's only one extra click. It's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons for allowing us to put this show out 3 to 4 times each and every week all around the world. And our patrons get a fifth show called Mike in the Midwest every Thursday. And if you'd like to support the show on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/beourguestpodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1940 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. We made it to yet another weekend. Holy cow, last weekend of July. We are looking at August now. Dog days of summer. Hopefully you're staying cool and having a nice summer. And we're not even talking back to school. We have too many teachers that listen to the show. Too many students. It's still summer for a while. Don't sweat it yet. Because I remember these days. As soon as it got to almost be August, I started like, it was like, you know, Ted Stryker in Airplane. You know, the sweat was coming down like, oh my gosh, got another school year coming around the corner. So hang tight. Let's have some fun. Let's talk Disney. So joining me today, as it's been all week, it's the Mike and Scott Show. We have hashtag Scotty G from up in Michigan. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Mike. Happy to be here again. And speaking of like end of summer, possibly, I mean, I know it's just still end of July, but like Emily, as you know, is starting high school.
That is nuts.
She's in marching band and band camp starts. So this might be the end of her summer because she's going to have like 5 days a week of band camp starting next week. So crazy.
32 days like football?
I don't think it's that intense. But maybe. I mean, marching band is a big part of the football game in high school for sure.
Oh, so. Totally. I mean, if there wasn't a band and the cheerleaders and all that, I mean, don't get me going about high school football on a Friday night, but we moved. One of the biggest reasons we bought this house is because, man, they do Friday night lights in this district like nobody else. And we almost always win state this school. So, oh my gosh, because we didn't have that at our old place. Like they weren't even allowed to play Friday night football because it was, we lived in kind of a dangerous neighborhood, and when they would play an occasional Friday night game, people, I hate to say this, but people always got shot. And so the games had to be like at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays. But, you know, in society over the past 10 years, you have like TV shows like Friday Night Lights and Varsity Blues. Like, I wanted that. Like, I'm a football fan. So I'm just a kid in a candy store at this point.
Well, it's crazy how it gets. Like, I think of like high school stadiums in Texas. Being just as big as like Spartan Stadium here, you know, like it's insane.
Yeah, the people like to troll me for being a Mizzou fan. They're like, yeah, we came to a Mizzou game out in Columbia. They said, yeah, it reminded me of a high school game in Texas, whatever.
Yeah,
we hold 70,000. Now that we ever get 70,000 since about 10 years ago, but we can hold 70,000. I know that you're, well, how much is Spartan Stadium?
I think Spartan Stadium's about the same as Mizzou.
Okay, good. Yeah. I mean, Michigan, the big house, 100 grand.
Yeah, Michigan's like 110,000. You know, OSU's got like around the same number. Yeah. It's crazy.
It is nuts. Anyway, so let's hop into today's topic. We're going to have a good time. We want you to play along with us. If you're on a run, cut the grass, doing the dishes, what have you, jump on social media too, at BRGuestPod or at BRGuestMike and let us know, and Ep Scott, of course, so we can know what you think of these things. But this is kind of a game that popped into our heads, my wife and I, as we were going around Walt Disney World a couple weeks ago. This is before Scott got there with his family. And one of the things we did on this trip that we never have done probably in, we haven't probably done this in 10 years. We bought refillable resort mugs. Because we had 3 resort stays. We stayed at Pop Century for a couple nights, Yacht Club, and then we stayed at Caribbean Beach. And I thought, again, this is bad because I never really messed with them. at some point they kind of were valid for your resort stay, the length of your resort stay. So I thought, well, we don't need them here because we get them at Pop two nights. We'll have to get a new one. But when I asked them, they say, no, they're as good as your, they say they can be used for 14 consecutive days. They default to 10 days when you buy them. But if you're staying 14 days, they can go into the computer and override it and change the date. So you can use it for 14 consecutive days. So when we were there for 10 nights. So I said, you know, Mallory wanted it. She kept asking. I was like, well, you know, I drink a lot of Coke Zero. And honestly, and there's a lot of Coke Zero at the fountains. And fountain soda is better than canned soda. I was like, why not? We'll get them this time. Her friend was with us. She wanted one. So we got them. And so that got us to thinking. I asked Pam, I said, okay, what do you think of resort guests? Okay, people staying on property. What percentage of guests do you think get resort refillable mugs? And so we kind of tried to come up with a percentage. And then we did this with all kinds of stuff the rest of the trip. So let's lead off with that one. Because we even have some ideas here in the live chat. Where would you put that? Okay, we're talking people that are staying on site. What percentage of folks do you think get the mugs?
So this is, I'm going to eliminate the dining plan from this because I think the dining plan comes with those, if
that,
I recall.
That is true. Right now, we're in a time without
dining plan. So we'll just say like right now, point in time, right now. I'm going to say 35%.
See, almost I think
like
you're
one
high.
In every three.
I think you're high. I would say no greater than 15%.
Really? Okay.
I would think. I mean, I don't
know. What was your experience? Like, so I usually don't get them because like we'll rent a car, we'll buy some sodas and waters and things like that. But like another thing is it's a lot of work sometimes, you know, like. If you're coming back from the parks and you get to your room, you get all settled in and you're like, oh man, I just want a soda. You're like, oh, I got to go hike all the way across the resort, you know, to get this. So that might deter some people away. But what was your experience? Were you seeing a lot of people getting refills?
So here's the thing. Like, okay, one of the reasons we didn't, because I usually buy like on Amazon cases of Coke Zero and put them in the fridge. But when you're doing three resort stays, like say I get them at Pop on day two. Then I got to, you know, throw them back in the box because they're in the fridge and get them moved to the next resort and then move to the third resort. That was going to be a pain. Plus, here's the thing you're forgetting. I had two kids that would walk down to the food court and get me a soda if I needed it. And plus, you know, I don't mind walking most of the time. I probably, out of the time we had the mugs, maybe got 30 sodas. I mean, you're coming way ahead at that point. And it's a little souvenir too, you know, thing, but... You know, I looked around, and I mean, you do see a lot of people with the mugs if you're in the food court. But I just can't imagine that many people, A, know that they're available, like, know the deal. I would say probably 50% of the people don't even know there's refillable mugs. Yeah. And so that eliminates part of it. I would guess, you know, 15, 20% max. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, but it was a good deal for us. I mean, we definitely used them.
Yeah, when you have a length of stay like you did, you know, you're at three different resorts like that, man, now I'm kind of thinking like, man, should I have done that on my last trip too, right? You know, like you can get a really good value. I see Wade's in the chat, I think, and it doesn't even have to be your whole family because I think Wade's son bought a mug, but like Wade and Shelly didn't, you know? So like it does, and that's
so
like
all
one third right there,
like,
that's like
okay,
with my 35% right there.
They're passing around like it's a communion or something. Like, okay, take a swig of Coke.
Now, if you could use them in the parks, it'd be a totally different story.
That is absolutely right. But then here's my thing. I hope they never go to that because I just think it would turn into like a Six Flags situation. Because
it would.
People carrying them around, you know, it just kind of, I don't know. Again, this is totally, I'm being judgmental here, but it just kind of like, it lowers the look, I think, if everybody's hauling around like a popcorn bucket and a refillable mug. I mean, it looks like you're just trying to, you know, you're like trekking across the desert at that point.
You probably see a lot of waste of it too, you know, like, I don't know, like dumping of the soda, like, oh, I can get another one later or whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, I can see it getting like messy and making the park look kind of not so clean.
That's true. But I mean, there are places to do that. So I don't know. So let us know what you think on that one. So, okay, give me a, let's go back and forth with one of yours. What do you think?
All right. This is kind of a weird one, but I don't know like what an average trip is like for someone. So just say like, say the average is a 4-night, 5-day trip. What percentage of guests skip Animal Kingdom as one of the park days?
Oh man. Okay. That's a good question. That's a good question. I would say I would go guess that skip Animal Kingdom Park. I would say
I'm like on a 5-day ticket.
I would say 40%.
Wow. That seems high.
I was actually going to say 20%. I skip Animal Kingdom on like a 7-night stay.
Sometimes. I know you do. That's why I wanted to ask you that question.
I'll go one time. We went one time in 10 days. It's just, the thing is, here's the thing. When I go there, I have a good time. It's not that I don't know what it is. It's like a mental thing. It feels like the Animal Kingdom park is hard. Like to me, like it's work. But then when I go there, like I love going on the animal trails. I love the safari. I love dinosaur. That's one of my favorites. I love eating at Satouli Canteen. I could eat at Flame Tree. We have a great time. Maybe it's because when we have to run that parking lot for the Run Disney races, I just have a
right.
block.
You got some bad memories of that park, right?
I don't know. I mean, I would say maybe 40%, but maybe that is high. I don't know. What about you?
I said 20%, and it could be higher. It might be closer to your 40, which is unfortunate because I love going to Animal Kingdom. I think you know this. Animal Kingdom is like Emily's favorite, and on this last trip, just based on like the plans we had with you and other friends, you know, like. We were like 7 days into it and we hadn't been to Animal Kingdom. And man, was I hearing it from my daughter. Like, I'm going to remove myself from a park reservation, just go by myself, basically, kind of action. But like, I love being there. Like, the counter service is so good at Animal Kingdom. Like, and just being in that environment, that atmosphere, like, I just love being there. And obviously, like, it's always going to be the last one on everyone's radar, I feel like. But man, it probably is closer to 40, but I hope it's more like 20 because like it's a great park and everyone should be visiting.
No, I agree. I mean, Disney has done that park right. I mean, it is so, you know, themed. There's such great attraction. Everest. People love it. It's one of the greatest roller coasters. It's so themed and it's fun. I don't like the backwards part. Actually, 3028 did a show about this and I just can't do the backwards part. I just can't. But yeah, I would, this is the thing, I'd love to have the stats on this. Disney's never giving these kind of stats, but I mean, I would love this kind of stuff. I would just love.
But you know, on a 5-day ticket, like people are going to do 2 days at Magic Kingdom.
Maybe
they're probably
going
to try to do 2 days at Hollywood Studios.
Oh,
and
yeah,
then,
studios now. Yeah, yeah.
And then the question is, do I go to Epcot or Animal Kingdom? And most people are going to go to Epcot. So that's why I feel like that it is probably being left out a lot.
Here's a good one. Okay, here's my next one. That's good. That was a really good one. What percentage of guests in the Magic Kingdom on any given day ride the Astro Orbiter?
Ride the Astro Orbiter on any given day. I think that's going to be low too. I think that's going to be low. I'm going to go 10%.
I don't even think it's low, man. I would go 5% on that one.
You're going even lower.
Okay, because I mean, it took me. I'm just looking at my personal experience. God, I didn't ride the thing for probably a decade when I went to the Magic Kingdom because it was just like, oh, it's a spinner. And oh, it's a pain, you know. And then once you ride it, either you like it. I love it because I think Mallory really loves it, and so we always make a point to ride it now. But I mean, once you ride a couple times, it's like it is a pain to wait for that elevator. That elevator in July is just smoking.
It is so hot.
Oh my God! Every time I ride that ride, I pray that thing doesn't break down with me in the elevator because it would kill you. Like within 5 minutes in July, if you got stuck on that elevator, you would just be. It's like an oven. You'd be cooked.
Yeah. I remember. Thank goodness it was during the pandemic where the line wasn't long, but it was me, Elizabeth, and Emily, and you and Mallory last summer, and we went to go do it. You know, our girls love to do it. And we got up there, we had to wait, we got into the elevator, we get up there, and like, oh, we just got some lightning, ride's closed.
Exactly. It's like Animal Kingdom, it's work.
Yeah. And then you got to wait for another elevator to get back down. Like, yeah. It's such a process, but it's a cool view from up there, and I love it at night. Like, if you can catch like a Happily Ever After, like you and I watched Wishes from up there.
Yeah,
you and I were in a rocket watching Wishes.
That was a strange night.
That was a memory. But yeah, it's cool. This kind of reminds me of Card Sharks a little bit. Like I said 10% and you're like, I'm going to go lower.
That's right.
Like, do you remember that game?
Yeah, but do I remember that game? I watch it every morning on the treadmill on Pluto TV with Jim Perry or Bob Eubanks.
Eubanks, yep. That'd be sweet if we actually had the statistics for this. Like Disney, like bringing someone in and like, oh yeah, that's actually 8%.
That's right. And Mike has control of the cards. Do you switch or do you higher? Totally. Oh my gosh.
Don't switch out the jack. Just go lower.
God. My luck, I get a 7 every time. Be like, yeah, whatever. It can't change. Okay. So that was 10% is probably close, but I would say, I bet you we're right in between them, 5 and 10. That's kind of a tough one. All right, because I just don't think it's work. Okay, what do you give us another one?
I'm gonna take mine to food because you know I love food so much, and I love table service dining as well. So, what percentage of I'm gonna stick with the same scenario I just gave, a 4-night, 5-day stay. What percentage of guests don't even eat a table service meal? They do counter service 100% of the time.
Oh, I would say that's high, because here's the thing. I think that you're taught as somebody that's a Walt Disney World first timer or somebody that's a newbie to this whole thing that table service dining is prohibitively expensive. I'll be honest. I mean, that's how my family was growing up. Like when we went to Six Flags, dude, counter service food was too expensive. What we did, and I'm not kidding, it was fine. I'm not trying to dog out my parents because we always had a good time. We had limited means growing up. And I mean, going to Six Flags a couple times a year was a big deal. But we would leave the park at lunchtime. We'd get in my dad's pickup. Then we'd drive down. It's like 5 minutes down the road in Eureka, Missouri. Go to the KFC. We get a bucket of chicken and some biscuits and stuff and some sides. And we just eat it in the back of the truck at the parking lot at Six Flags and go back into the park.
Yep.
And I would say that that's more common than you might think. So I would say percentage that only eat quick service. Disney does a good job with their marketing of dining, though. And I think everybody, yeah, especially when character dining's available, a lot of people want to maybe do that once or twice. I would say 40% of guests don't just only eat quick service. I'd say 60% do the table service. Well, I don't know. What do you think?
I was going to go 49% of guests eat counter service only. On like a five-day trip.
You think only half of the guests were eating a table service meal?
Yeah. Because I think you're right. I think a lot of guests want to save money and save time. If you're doing a shorter trip, like, I mean, I'm calling a four-night, five-day trip. That's not necessarily short by any means, but it's kind of on the shorter end for those listening to this show, right? And then it just seems like it's a time saver. You know, I'm just going to quick grab something and go to the next attraction or whatever. So I think it's 49%, but I would love to know that stat, too. It would be fun to know all these.
God, no, this is killing me now that we don't know. But Tanja, she's saying down in Nashville, she's saying 70% maybe. You know what? She might be right because do you have to be a big Disney fan to really be into the table service dining? Maybe. I mean, maybe you just don't think because the thing is, like, you're going to happen upon.
You got to know. You got to be prepared. You know, you got to be prepared to make ADRs, right?
Right.
If you just show up there, like, you got your room and everything, like, and you might not know about table service, and then you're like, we'll just not do that this trip. That could happen a lot, I feel like.
Well, plus, like, you're going to happen upon a Casey's because you're going to walk past Casey's. You're going to see somebody rolling out with a dog. You know, because you got to eat. So you're going to turn to the quick service places if you got to eat. You're right. I mean, you got to, especially nowadays, you got to have an ADR. You won't get in. But I wonder in, like, normal times, that is a really good, I don't know. That's a really good, I'd love to see. But 70% might be right because I would say your average guest is, you know, looking to just dine. And plus, here's the other thing you got to think about. A lot of folks talk about with table service. It doesn't kill your day, but if you're trying to get as many attractions in as possible, you could lose 90 minutes like that on any kind of table service meal.
Easily, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. I love this. Oh, man. We got to do this maybe on Sunday night. We got to have some of these. I want to hear what other people throw out.
I would love to hear others' opinions on our answers and give us some new topics, too. That'd be fun, too.
I love this guy. This is what the kind of stuff at Disney, like, I always wonder about. Like, okay, what's it? Okay, let's go with this. What percentage of guests ride the Skyliner in any given trip? Say right now. So limited access, depends what hotel you're in, but overall, all the guests staying on property, what percentage of guests do you think ride the Skyliner at least once?
77%.
77%, yep. You think?
I'm going, and I'll tell you why. Like when the first times I rode the Skyliner, like they still kind of do this from now. Like I was leaving the studios and they kind of asked you, like, where are you heading? You know, where are you heading to? Make sure like you're taking the right mode of transportation. And the first time I did it, like the five groups in front of me were all just like, I just want to ride it. I just want to ride this. I just want to see what it's like. And I think a lot of people might do that, right? They're curious about it and just, they don't even care where it's going. They just want to ride it. I know it's a bold number, man, but that's what I'm going with.
That's throwing it down. Cause I was going to say like 35% because I would think that, okay, say you're staying at a monorail resort or you're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Or you're at a Riverside and a French Quarter when they reopen, or an All-Star, something that's off the Skyliner line. But you're right. I didn't think about that.
If you're at Epcot and you want to take a midday break, you might go to Riviera Primo Piatto for some lunch, or go to Caribbean Beach, or go to Pop for some lunch.
And that's
I think people do it as like their midday break.
And I bet you more people than I would have thought. I never even thought about that idea that, hey, we just want to ride this because it looks kind of fun. I mean, because they are colorful and it, I mean, I think
they're seeing it. If you're on, even if you don't have a car, right? You're on a bus, you're on Lake Buena Vista Drive, you're going to see him. You're going to be on that road at some point. You're going to be curious about what it is. You're going to hear a bus driver talk about it, probably. You're going to hear someone talk about it, and you're going to leave the studios or Epcot at some point and be like, hey, you know what? I want to check this out.
That's a good, dude, I love these. I can't stop thinking about it. Lisa says, you know, some folks have fear of heights that might keep them from riding it.
Yeah, that's the 23% that aren't doing it.
That's it. I do like this idea, though, because, and like Eric even says, it could be a great midday break from Epcot. You get on at the International Gateway. That's about a, what, like 10-minute ride over to the Riviera and Caribbean Beach. And, you know, maybe just do the loop and, you know, hop back on if the line's not long at Caribbean Beach. And there's 20 minutes. You're sitting down. I like it. That's a cool one. Okay. We're way off on that one. So we'll see what people say. Okay. So let's go with another one.
So you and I talk about this. We always joke. It's wishful thinking that if we could just have 60 seconds of income in a park day at Walt Disney World, right? Because there's money being spent at all times, right? And so I'm just going to ask you, you're in the Magic Kingdom, having a great day with the family. Say it's like, say you just got done having lunch. It's like 12:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere in there. What percentage of guests in that park have paid the park at the TTC that day?
Oh, my gosh. I would
say the amount of money that Disney has brought in just from parking.
Well, so obviously that would be your offsite guess, because if you're staying at a Walt Disney World resort, you're parking for free.
Yeah.
I would still say the Magic Kingdom on a given day, 55% of the guests are offsite. I don't know. What do you think? I don't know.
So I was going to say the same number, because, and the reason I asked this question is on my last trip, you know, I rented a car. And I was backed up several times at the studios just trying to get in. I usually take a bus to Magic Kingdom, because that parking is that's a whole process on its own, right?
Yeah.
Parking the Magic Kingdom, but that's the example I gave. But I swear, Mike, every other car was handing out money, you know, and paying.
Right.
You know, so I think it's about 50%.
Okay, so I gotta fill everybody in on this conversation that we're having, so we can kind of elaborate on this. And mind boggling, like when we talk, because we talk about this, and this is what we're talking. Because I came up with this one day, I was thinking about this. Okay, so we all know the scope of Walt Disney World, the four theme parks, the hotels, the water parks, all the restaurants, Disney Springs. Okay, so any given time, say you pick 1 minute. Okay, say like you win some kind of a lottery and you pick, they give you like 1:17 p.m. on like a Tuesday. Like you get 1:17 p.m. Tuesday, pick a date, could be any day of the year. We're going to give you that 1 minute of every receipt in every cash register on property just for that 1 minute. Think about how many places during that 1 minute, that cash register is collecting some kind of funds. It could be a toll, like I said, a toll booth at a parking lot. Could be, you know, somebody checking out at Wine Bar George. Could be somebody, you know, buying a Dole Whip in Adventureland, or somebody paying their bill at Pop Century at the checking desk. Could you?
That's
imagine?
The one. That's the minute I want.
No. Oh my God. Or Grand Floridian. But could you imagine if you got that 1 minute of just the, like, because you know there's always like a timestamp on the statement, right? If you got the 1 minute of that revenue just in one day, 1 minute, I mean, you have to be talking millions of dollars, I would think, right? For 1 minute any day?
I mean,
with as many cash registers,
I don't know if it's in the millions, but it's got to be close. Like for just 1 minute, I mean, there's a lot of money being spent at all times.
I would bet it's at least $1 million. I mean, because think about it. Like, I mean, you got mouse gear. I mean, because somebody's paying their bill at a hotel. That's a big charge. Dole Whip, not so much. What's parking like? $20?
Yeah, $25.
Holy smokes.
I actually upgraded to preferred parking.
No way,
last
trip.
I haven't told you that story yet.
No way.
I did.
What got you? Was it the water bottle? You thirsty?
I didn't even get a water bottle. I was just... I just wanted to get into the studios and get a Starbucks so bad. Like, I just wanted to be a little
shut
closer.
Up. You're killing me. You did not. Oh, man.
I just wanted to see it out, check it out. And, like, it wasn't even really that much closer, which is kind of unfortunate.
Okay. Here's my next one. It's kind of self-serving. How many people on, say, the Magic Kingdom in a given day? Let's say Epcot. I don't know why I'm saying Epcot. Okay. We'll switch it up. Doesn't matter.
Let's do it.
How many people, what percentage of people do you think have ever heard of a Disney podcast that are in that park in a given day? I've always wondered this, because I mean, this is what I do, you know, this is what I've done for 13 years. But I wonder, because, you know, some people come up like, I listen to the podcast and it's exciting. But well, give me your number, then I'll continue the discussion.
Yeah. I mean, this number is going to grow. Like, if you would ask me this question 10 years ago, it's, I mean, the number is like quadrupled at this point.
It's easier
like.
To get them nowadays. And plus, yeah, like, it's a lot easier. You hear about them.
More people know about them. My dad knows about them, you know?
Like, I know. It's really grown.
That a Disney podcast exists? Is that what you said? Okay. Or listen to one.
No, just they've heard one. Let's say they've listened to at least one Disney podcast at some point. Okay. I mean, it could have been 10 years ago, just one episode.
Okay. I'm going to go 30% because I think there's a lot of like locals and regular. I mean, heck, the Be Our Guest podcast has a lot of representation always down in the parks, right? At Epcot. So I'm going to go 30%.
Really? Zero. See, this is why I love this, because I would have said 5%.
Really?
I mean, because you got to think. Okay, even if people listen to podcasts, like the Disney podcast fandom overall, I mean, and again, we're preaching to the choir here because I have so many that I listen to. But I would say that, I mean, you got to be a hardcore Disney fan. But I mean, I guess that's who's in the parks for the most, well, maybe not the most part.
Not for the most part, but I mean, you're going to know that podcast, like, I think it's so different booking a trip now than like 10 years ago. Like, one of the things you might go to is like, hey, we're booking this trip to Walt Disney World. Like, oh, cool. Like, well, I listen to Beatle podcast. I listen to news podcasts, like Harry Potter podcast. Hey, let's see if there's a Disney podcast. I'm sure someone's going to search it and then find something and then listen to it before the trip. Like, I think that number is going to be higher than the 5%.
That is a good point, because it's almost like a kind of a form of like getting a guidebook nowadays.
It kind of is. Yeah. Audio. Free, and it's free, right? That's like everyone true. Loves free.
That is. I love free. Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder.
I think a lot of people just know about it now, you know, like podcasts are pretty common, you know. I'm surprised like we haven't found the next thing, right? But because they've been around for a little bit now. But
and Tanja says, you know, they come up on a Google search nowadays. Yeah, they do.
Yep. I mean, and she said 80% as her guess. And I mean.
Dude, I wish. I hope. That'd be great for me. I don't know. Because I see the numbers like our, you know, I see all of our statistics and stuff. And I just wonder. I mean, because, you know, Lou's bigger. I mean, there's a lot of bigger podcasts than us. We're hanging tough. But, you know, I've always wondered that. Because, you know, like, you're right, though. Like a decade ago, because the podcast has been 13 years now. You know, I tell somebody I do a Disney podcast, like, what's a podcast? And I'd be like, oh, it's kind of like a radio show, like an AM radio show, but it's for Disney fans. You know, you can listen to it on your phone, but you got to sync your iPod. Now they're just right there. And plus, like, I mean, that's, you hear about podcasts in the mainstream media all the time. So you're right. Yeah. But I would still in our city, though.
I talk about it at work. Like, I say, like, yeah, you know, my best buddy has a Disney podcast. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Like, they don't question, like, a Disney podcast. Yeah. Like, they just... It just sounds normal, you know?
That is weird. So, it's kind of normal. Yeah, I went over to Silver Dollar City. I didn't look for a podcast. I wonder if there is one. I'd have to look. I mean, it's only one park.
You and I talked about this. This is a podcast for everything.
There is a podcast for it. Yeah, and everybody's got a podcast. I mean, that's one of those things. So, yeah. Interesting. Okay, so give us another scenario.
All right. So this is ideally for you, because I know your family, especially in the summertime, but it might be like a, you know, 365-day-a-year thing for you. Your family loves to get some type of dessert at night, even when you're in St. Louis in Missouri.
Fritz's last night, yes.
Yeah, I saw you at Fritz's last night. You had Baskin Robbins the night before, because I did too.
Yeah.
So what percentage of guests, all property-wise, they don't have to be in the Magic Kingdom, they could be at the studios, at the resort, Blizzard Beach, whatever. What percent of guests get an ice cream on a given day?
Okay, so are we counting Dole Whip as ice cream? That's a big factor.
Ooh, yeah, I'll count Dole Whip as ice cream in this case.
I would say... I'm going 35% on that one. And the reason is, I think the folks that some people are just trying to not spend money, right? And I think that's a legitimate thing. Like, they might not want to. But again, like, my thing is, when I'm on vacation, we always end every day with a sweet treat. Now, sometimes it's not ice cream, but most of the time it is, because that's kind of what our family likes. But we could end up with like a funnel cake at Epcot or something like that. But
that's true.
I would still say 35%, because I don't know. That's good. Because then the question is, like, what percentage of guests end the day with the sweet treat? And I would say that's probably...
And maybe I should have 50. Worded it that way, because now I think about it, like, not everyone can eat ice cream, you know, that they might have, lactose or whatever, you know.
Or here's a little... You want a little TMI? Paige eats ice cream and she probably shouldn't. I'm just saying.
Yeah, me too. Me too. That's why I said that. But then, you know, and, like, it's not... Easily, and not every like station is gonna have an ice cream necessarily, you know. But like sometimes you think of like being in the Magic Kingdom, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna get an ice cream on my way out or whatever. And like Did we put Mickey Bar in this conversation?
Yeah,
well, too?
Yeah, Mickey Bar, Mickey Ice Cream Sandwich. I've switched teams. Yeah. I used to be Mickey Bar, and I'm Mickey Ice Cream
Sandwich.
I'm Team Sandwich,
too. So I guess I should have been a little more specific. I really left that question really open-ended, you know, with Dole Whip.
No, it's a good conversation. That's why I love this is the kind of stuff we did the whole trip, because it leads to other questions, right? I mean,
but I think someone, I think 50%, I'm going to split the middle. I'm going to go 5-0. I think 50% of a guest is going to have some type of ice cream every day.
I would say
I mean, that seems high though, doesn't it?
Well, no, it does. I don't know. That's the whole thing. Like, to me, that seems like that's the only way to do it.
If you throw in like a Mickey bar and a Mickey sandwich, like, I think that really, because those carts are everywhere. Like, those are easily accessible. They're in every gift shop. You can get one. Like, sometimes, like, we'll just get one in the gift shop. I know you do that too, right?
Yeah, that is like your, if you haven't had your sweet treat for the night, you get back to your hotel and, like, you know, say Cafe Rick's at Coronado's closed, but they're taunting you with those cupcakes in the window, but it's closed. Most places you can go at least to that little, like, you know, portable freezer thing. Yeah. That's got, you know, it's got Mickey bars. It's got ice cream sandwiches. Sometimes the ice cream sandwich cookie. That's kind of like your last minute. Okay. Save you. Get your sweet treat for the night. I've done that many times.
Yeah.
That's a good question though. Milkshakes.
It's a fun game.
Yeah.
It's a fun game. I like this.
Okay. Here's the next one. What percentage of guests, this is kind of for this week. Okay, so we go down there tomorrow. Everybody on property. What percentage of folks on property at any given point do you think have run at least one Run Disney event?
You
know, a 5K, they've done, you know, any distance. Yeah. Let's say in person at Walt Disney World.
And we're talking tomorrow. I'm going to say, 7%.
That's about where I was going. I was going about 5.
Yeah. Because might be high. I almost went 4. I almost went 4%.
You know, 5 might be high. Yeah, I agree. Because you got to think about, you know, there's not a lot of runners. Like, I mean,
there's not a lot of runners.
Considering the whole general population, that probably wipes out 75% of the people.
And I think for every Run Disney race we do, like, here's a question. For every Run Disney race you do, what percent of those participants have, it's not their first Run Disney race?
Well, they ask that, right? When you're in the corrals. Yeah. And the chat room's coming in way lower than us. Diane's saying 0.5%. Eric's saying 1%. Mm-hmm. Corbin of Amber saying 1%. They're probably close. And now that I think about it, they're probably right. It's probably 1%.
So let me flip that question to you then. What percent? So any Run Disney race you're doing, what percent of those participants, it's not their first, race? For Run Disney.
So any given race, it's not their first race, because they ask this, right? When you're waiting in the crowds, they always ask, like, who's your first
time?
I would say 80% of the people are running a second
race. I was going to say 92%.
Yeah, I would say it's at least 80. It's at least 80% of running a, you know, at least
that is like one of the biggest return.
It is.
Guest things right there is Run Disney, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think we went way too high on that one. It's probably 1%.
I saw someone say 0.05. I think that actually might be the answer.
That is. You know what? I'm not kidding. Because, I mean, when you think about it, like, most people aren't going to run a race, period. You know, that's probably 90% of the people. That's probably more than 90% of the people. And then what are the chances you would know about Run Disney? What are the chances you got into a race? Because it's a lot of work. But then again, like, you see people in Run Disney stuff as you go around the parks occasionally.
Occasionally. And that's what, Mike, you got to remember, you're down there for race weekend.
That's true. You see people with medals, but it's marathon weekend, Mike. Yeah. That's true. That's a good point. And also, maybe it's that I'm looking for people in Run Disney stuff because that's my jam. I don't know. There's so many questions. Okay, let's do a couple more. Give us another.
Okay. So I think we kind of talked about something funny, like a souvenir we could make in the last listener question show. So I'm going to spin it to this. What percentage of guests in Epcot point to Spaceship Earth and say to their family, like, that's the big golf ball?
Oh, my God. That's a perfect question. Oh, man. I'm going high on this one. I'm going to say, because I hear it. I don't know if I hear it, like, because it bugs me that I hear it more.
Hear it more because you're like,
I'm listening for it. I would say, oh my gosh, I'd say 60% of people call Spaceship Earth a golf ball. 60%.
Dang, that's the exact number I was going to go. I was going to go 60%.
It's more than half.
I think it's right.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because it's like, oh no, it's not a golf ball. It's Spaceship Earth, man. It's one of the best attractions ever.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? Let me throw one back at you on that one. What percent of guests in Epcot do you think? How could I word this? Well, because it doesn't matter. We can go either way. What percentage of guests in Epcot know that there's an attraction inside of Spaceship Earth?
So my first time I was at Walt Disney World, I had no idea.
I think that's higher than you might think. I would think, you know, everybody knows that's a ride. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of, like, the way I'm spinning that to me is, like, what percentage first time guests are in Epcot, you know? Because, like, I feel like the first timers, unless you grab a map or something, right? Or, like, really look closely. That could be a good question. What percent of guests grab a map? I'm going to say 21% of guests don't know that there's a ride. I know it's kind of high, but that's the number I'm going with.
I would say it's about like that. I was going to say 20. So I would say, but it kills me. Like, how do you, that is like one of the, that's why, this is why it hurts me. Because, right, I mean, if you're in Epcot and you don't ride Spaceship Earth, man, that is a crime. That is a crime. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, I love this, man. This is the kind of show, and I hope you're enjoying the show if you're listening.
Yeah, this is fun.
This is totally my kind of thing. Okay, so I'm going to use Eric's question because he's been hanging with us here in the chat, giving us all kinds of feedback along with everybody else. We sure appreciate that. It makes it more fun. But this is a good question. How many people on a given day, say non-pandemic times, do character meet? So meet at least one character throughout the day. Like stop. I'm not talking a character meal. Like you go out of your way to meet Mickey in Town Square, or you meet, I don't know. Say you meet what's that McQuack duck at Animal Kingdom? The airplane guy.
Oh,
I didn't watch DuckTales. I got my picture with him though.
I can't think of his name. I know like who you're talking about. Oh my God, he's got the leather jacket.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was a cool picture. I got a picture with that cat. I don't know what he was
Launchpad,
called.
Launchpad, maybe?
Launchpad, McQuack.
I don't know. Something. I could be wrong, but
help us out in the chat. Anyway, so what do you think's the percentage on folks that actually stop and do a character meet and greet in a normal day?
So I think Eric even threw out a number earlier about how many rides per Astro Orbiter are done per hour.
Yeah, he was cracking the numbers in the chat.
Yeah, and I think the character meets per hour are lower than that. So I'm going to go like 4%.
You think only 4%?
I think it's really small. Think of how many people are in the Magic Kingdom at one time. And like, you think like, I don't know whatever the number is. You think they're all waiting in line to do a character meet and greet? I don't know.
But I mean, over the course of it, and this is where it's crazy because Court of Amber saying 80%. We are all over the place on this one.
Okay, I know I went ridiculously low because I love character meet and greets. Like I'm one that would do one every day, but I can't believe I went 4%, but that's what my gut said.
And Eric and Jessica let us know it's almost a launch pad. It's Launchpad McQuack is the guy. So, and also Lisa, thank you for that. We lost our Disney cred. God, okay, this is.
I said Launchpad, didn't
did you? McQuack? Okay, I didn't know what his last name was.
I didn't say McQuack, but I said Launchpad.
Okay, there we go. So we got him. God, this is a great question, though, because I mean, like, people go to. This is the reason you go to Walt Disney.
You go to World, Disney,
like,
right?
Especially like the Magic Kingdom. Like, you got to meet Mickey. That's another question. How many people in the Magic Kingdom do you think under normal times meet Mickey Mouse? I would say that's really low. But if you put all the characters in a given day, because all of a sudden, say, Stitch pops out in Tomorrowland. Yeah. I mean, I've got my picture with him just because it's like an opportunity. I didn't go there.
But you're not. But that's not a character meet and greet. Because like if he comes out for that dance party or whatever, you know, like taking a selfie.
So
with
you don't
him,
count that? Like, okay, say I'm dancing with him and I do a selfie with him. That's not a character meet and greet, you don't think?
I don't think so. I think it's queuing up for one, like at Mickey.
Okay.
In Town Hall, which is not a thing right now. But you know, or none of these are a thing right now. I guess it's the way you interpret it, right? Like, I think it's queuing up because you just said character meals didn't count.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do this. Okay. Let's switch it up here. Okay. Let's clarify this one. How many people do you think leave a theme park? Okay. They go to a theme park that day. When they leave the theme park, they have at least one photo on their camera phone.
Okay.
With a character that day. Let's just say that because times have kind of changed.
Yeah. Well, I think his question was like pre-pandemic too, but yeah. So I think that that's going to be higher because there's opportunities where Tigger walks by because he's got to have, you know, he's got to go back to the woods, you know, and take a little break or whatever, you know, or the Tomorrowland Incredibles party. So I think you're going to see a lot of selfies taken there. So I'd say like that's 35%.
I'll go with that. Yeah, we'll go with that because that's probably about the.
That's a great. This is a great conversation. I love this episode.
And I hope you guys do this at dinner tonight with your family because this is something that you can totally make your own and just have, and it never ends. And plus, we have Lisa now singing the DuckTales song all night. She says, so. DuckTales. Okay, I'm going to do one more, then you do one more, and we're getting out of here because I know we're going long. Here we go. Because Diane says she just joined late and she wanted to know. And this is a good, this is another great question from the chat. What percentage of guests at the Magic Kingdom on any given day wear some kind of Disney attire to the park?
Ooh.
That's a great one. Oh my gosh. What do you think? Because I do every time.
So I guess my question is, like, I hope I don't offend anyone here, but I do not like those like broke shirts or spoiled.
I'm kind of against the ones that say like most expensive day ever. Like,
yeah, I don't care for those shirts. Are we counting that as Disney attire?
Yes, we are in this. In this
we are.
Instance,
okay. Because they usually have like mouse ears on them or something. Oh boy. I think that's kind of high because like I do it often. Well, I wear polos normally, but during the day I normally wear like a Disney t-shirt. 52%.
I'm going 75%.
Oh, you're going high.
I just see it. Maybe I just notice it more, but I would say there's, I just never got my light blue Mickey ringer tee, which you got, but killing me.
I guess there's a lot of matching shirts that are Disney, right? And then if you take like a group of 30, there's 30 out of 30 right there. You know, that's really going to increase the percentage.
That's true. That's true. I love the ones that say I don't do matching shirts and they both have them on. That's pretty clever. I do like that because that's pretty funny. Yeah, I would say 75% because especially like the big family vacations, like it seems like when they go to the Magic Kingdom in particular, like that's the day they pull out the Disney outfit, I would say, more than any other park.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Magic Kingdom is where like you see the Peter Pan, like I'm so fly, I never land shirts. Exactly. There's probably like, that's probably 10% of the shirts right there.
Totally, totally. And I mean, I'll be honest, like when I go to the Magic Kingdom, I always pull out just like a plain old Mickey shirt. You know, that's like my day to wear, actually.
Or your Thunder Splash.
Yeah,
shirt.
That what I got. But it's like this one. You know, it's like I pull this dude out when I go to the Magic Kingdom. Okay, zip shirt back up. Okay, I'm wearing his undershirt today because it's cold down here. Okay, give us one last one, Scott, and we're getting out here. But then we'll continue it Sunday night.
I gotta ask this one.
Oh, no.
No, it's not even like funny. It's like a legit question.
I thought you were going to say, what? How many people have taken a selfie at Trails Inn in the men's bathroom, but we don't want to go there.
I did want to go there. I said I was going to do a funny one. I really didn't do a funny one. Maybe the Spaceship Earth, the golf ball one. But anyway, what percent of guests going to the Hollywood Studios had no idea that you had to get a Rise of Resistance boarding group to ride it?
That's a good question. I would love to know this one. And I would say, it's 25%, which is way too high.
I was going to say 10, because I think they do a really good job of like really trying to inform you that this is what, even when you have your park pass, they give you that email, right? Saying like, hey, this is what you got to do if you want to ride this attraction. But a lot of people are probably ignoring that. They're on vacation, you know? So I think it's 10%. Don't know.
Yeah, it's probably closer to, because don't you get in it like a push notification the night before saying, you know, here's the procedure for tomorrow? I think you
maybe do. I don't, and it's in the app, right? But not everyone's necessarily using the app because not everyone has a smartphone, which is how you have to get it too, you know.
Holy cow, Lisa saying 45%, Tanja's playing
45%. I like Eric's answer, 20%, but the more the better.
Yeah, that's true. Which was 99. No, just kidding, I'm not saying that.
Yeah, what percent of guests actually get the ride? It would be Disney tell me that answer.
I would say that's at least 80%, at least, probably 90%. If you use the 1 o'clock.
Oh, no, I mean like in the park. Like how many, not if you get a boarding pass, like you think 80% of the guests get to ride it?
Oh, no. You'd be thinking that way. I'd say that in a given day at the studios, for the folks that want to ride it, that try to get a boarding group, I'd say 85% actually successfully will get to ride. I'd say it's only 15% that want to ride it don't get to.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It can't be higher than that, man. That people would be fired up, don't you think?
You think 85% of the guests in the park get to ride it?
They went for a boarding group. Yes, I would say yes. Because I mean, God, if you had 15% of the whole park not getting to ride it and they wanted to, I think it'd be crazy. I don't know.
Because think of how many times we get shut out, Mike.
I know. But I didn't go to guest services, but I think most people would.
They probably do.
Okay, we're stopping here. But we're going to continue this Sunday night. So you got 48 hours to think about these things and come up with some other ones for us. And we'll answer them. And then we'll throw them out to the chat room and call in. This will just be a fun Sunday night kind of hangout thing. And we'll commiserate and talk about marathon too. We'll see how that goes.
Oh boy.
I know.
We might be grumpy on Sunday.
We might be a little grumpus. That's right. We've talked about grumpus twice in two shows. Okay. So anyway, hopefully you enjoyed today's show. A little bit different, but play this with your family and so forth. And we'll talk about it on Sunday night. So Today's show, of course, brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. I'll tell you what, most of the guests over at the Magic for Less are very, very happy with the service they get when they book their trip with the Magic for Less. We always strive to give every guest an amazing experience every time. So when it comes time for your next Disney trip, just check out themagicforless.com, fill out the quote form, mention the show, and you and I are going to plan a great trip together. Again, themagicforless.com. Also, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. 100% helps us out there. Over at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you to our patrons. You guys allow us to do these shows each and every week. I can't thank you enough for that. And our patrons get an extra show every Thursday called Mike in the Midwest. So check out all the benefits for becoming a patron over at patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Again, Sunday night, we'll be live on Facebook and YouTube, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central, continuing on, taking your calls, having fun, laughing. That's what this is all about. So please do join us for that. You can follow us on the social media, Instagram and Twitter, at BeOurGuestPod. For me, at BeOurGuestMike is actually me. Ricky runs the BeOurGuestPod account. And, of course, Scott's at Epscot and at Palm Trees of Disney. Follow him over there. Subscribe to the show on Facebook and YouTube. Just search for the BeOurGuestPodcast. And we'll see you Sunday night. So one last percentage, 100% thank you for hanging with us for the show. It was fun. It was fun. It's got good ones, though. Those were good. I love it. A lot of fun. All right, so we're going to get out of here and see you on Sunday night getting those calls ready. So until then, for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Friday. Stay safe and have a great weekend. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.